Hi, you guys. Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs, your host on Lost Arts Radio, and appreciate your being here very much. We have a friend of ours who's been very busy all the time and still is, and we've been waiting months and months to get her back on. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I'm not going to spend time going over a long bio because she has thousands of interviews all over the place, and if you don't know who she is, you can look it up, but this is not going to be a typical interview where she just has to get bored repeating what she said hundreds and hundreds of times, although that's very worthwhile. We're going to go take it a little bit further this time and see what you think, Dr. Tenpenny. I'm going to give us a real quick rundown of where we are now, and then we'll just see where the discussion goes. And thanks for being here. I deeply appreciate it, and it's a treat to see you.
Thank you so much, Richard. You know, it seems like time just flies in between things on a daily basis. I mean, it's hard for me to believe this is the second, going into the second week of February already. I mean, weren't we just saying Merry Christmas like about a minute and a half ago?
Yeah, I have to check what year it is.
Seriously, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
So here's what I was thinking, and these are just spontaneous discussions, of course, but I thought a place to start rather than just repeating the usual sequence of discussion points is where we are now, and we're beyond the point of sitting around and doing entertainment or anything like that. This is a serious point of decision for humanity, and it really boils down, with in spite of all the physical details, it boils down to a consciousness test, and you know, to see where things go in the future. And where we are now, I think, and we'll see what Dr. Tenpenny thinks about that. We've got almost all the power positions in the world infiltrated by dark forces that are following orders from the level right above them and above them and above them. And it goes up to a place where it's not about money. It's about what really looks to me still like a ritual sacrifice of the whole biosphere, not just humans, and it needs to be turned around before it goes any further. And we can look at basically what's happening now in the current state of affairs, but it's really up to us. We've been walking around thinking that we're helpless, and that's part of the programming and the hypnosis, and that can be broken. So time is really valuable at this point. We're just saying how fast it goes by, and there's not some better time in the future to wait to do whatever your life needs to have done to it so that you can be a better contribution to the world and yourself at the same time. So what do you think about that, Dr. Tenpenny? And if whatever you think, I would like to start with a brief recap of where we are now and the issues that have to be dealt with, and then go from there.
Well, where we are now is heading into the third year of, for some people, absolute coma and goose stepping to the continual propaganda and continuing to believe the lies as if they were truth. They bought the deception lock, stock, and barrel, and they aren't giving it up. And then there's another group of people who have slowly been analyzing the facts, and over time, and far too slowly as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure as far as you're concerned too, are starting to say, you know what, we really have been lied to. And I think that those people, to extend an olive branch to them and say, you know what, we've all been scammed at some point in time in our life. We've all been sold something by a salesman that we really didn't want. And we took it home and it broke. And we thought we were going to get into a good business deal and it went sour. I mean, we've all had losing deals in our life, however you want to define that. Right. So it comes down, so what? So it's sort of like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm not going to let that happen. And once you know what you know, you can't unknow it. And as you start learning things, the acceleration pathway, it's like it's drips, 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 and then it turns into a raging river. Yeah. So I think we've got a lot of people who are coming to grips with, we really have been lied to and enough is enough. Then, of course, there's the third group of people like you, me, and probably a lot of your listeners who were awake to what the scam was and what they were trying to do in terms of total population to control, moving us all into the transhumanism movement, hooking us up electronically to the Internet of Things, which, by the way, has now been demonstrated by three completely separate labs, one in Spain, one in Germany, and one in New Zealand, about the nanotechnology and the microchips that are in the micro circuits that are being injected into us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's sort of a summary of where we are. Where we're going, and particularly with that middle group, because that first group, that they are, it's like the parable of the sower in the Bible. You know, the one group is like hard, rocky soil, and doesn't matter how much you do to them, they will always be hard, and the birds will pluck it away, and it doesn't really matter. I would say those people in your life, that no matter what you say to them, no matter what videos or radio clips or how much data you put in front of them, if they're like, that's just conspiracy theory, you guys are all crazy, I honestly, at this point in time, would pray for them, bless them, and let them go. They are not worth your life force energy to try to keep cracking them over the head with a bat. Where the real opportunities are the people in the middle that are really moving forward. And I think, what I think is the biggest representation of those people is the truckers in Canada and the truckers that are coming together all over the world. These are people we bought that have been sitting around for 2 years going, daggone it, somebody needs to do something. Grumble. Somebody just needs to do something. And those truckers got up off their couch, filled their trucks with gas and said, we're going to do something. We're driving clear across the country. We're creating a caravan and we're going to go over and make some noise. We are going to be heard, which I think has been serving as an inspiration for the whole world, that it doesn't matter what you do, just do something. Get up off your couch, get participating, go to the school board meeting, show you're not going to let your kids be masked. Tell your employer, fine, fire me. Oh, yes, fire me. Go ahead and fire me. Then I can apply for unemployment. Not because I quit, but because you fired me. And I'm going to leave this job that, oh, it's the same job I've been complaining about for the last 20 years. So I guess I'm going to trust God that there's something bigger and better in store for me. I'm going to do something. I think this third year of this tyranny, quite frankly, it's starting out with a roar. And I think it's going to be the year of action where people, the first year, they cowered in fear. The second year, they sort of tapped their fingers on the table like, when is this nonsense going to be over? And now that we're heading into a third year, I think people across the world, there are freedom-loving people, God-loving people, inspired people that are saying, enough, and I'm going to go do something about it. And it's happening all over the world.
It's spreading, and it could actually lead to a positive outcome. And I should have said one thing about your background, and that is that the two reasons that I really wanted you to be on the show, one is on the surface. I think you're probably, you know, due to what you put into it, one of the most, maybe the most knowledgeable person on vaccines on the planet. And that's not an ego thing. That's just what it is. You know, you put in that many thousands of hours and with an open mind. And that's a discussion in itself, because so many people that go through what they call higher education, I know I've been a victim of it myself. And what happens is that you get so programmed of memorizing things that you think you learned, but you actually memorize them, an example of which is Safe and Effective. And you get taught these by authority figures and peer pressure. And if you don't give the right answer on tests, you don't succeed. You don't get through the school. And to get through that, going along with it and then keeping your common sense and perception intact is incredible. And, you know, there are a number of people who did that, but and I'm going to shut up in a minute, but I think this is an important point, that some of the doctors, you know, they're falling into different groups. Many of them are in that group that just really resist any actual education, and they just keep repeating what they've memorized. But there's another group, really well-motivated, highly intelligent, that don't realize they're still victimized. They think that a lot of the, well, they think many of them rush to say, I'm not anti-vax, and all the rest of the vaccines are great, but this one has a problem. But the science of vaccinology is proven and, you know, safe and effective and safe from polio and all that stuff. They don't realize they're still caught in the matrix of that. And once you get out of that, then you can start putting us as a piece into a bigger picture and looking for solutions, which is what matters. So one reason I wanted you on is because you put those things together. And the other, which is more important, is I think you're a spectacular person in general.
Well, thank you.
And realize that everybody in the world is selfish, but the people who are more in-depth aware know that the fate of everyone is tied together. So the most generous thing you can do is take care of yourself. And the most selfless thing you can do is that and then share it with everybody else. It makes you valuable. So I just wanted to bring that up. But why do you think I'm right about the reason that many of these great doctors, and I don't need to name them right now, because I'm not trying to shame them, but they get part of it and they absolutely can't get the rest. And I think an example of that is saying that, yes, this virus and variants are terribly dangerous. And by implication, they exist. And I think that's seriously questionable.
Agreed.
Right. I mean, nobody has proven they exist at all. And the magnitude of the scam is just incredible. And yet, I have faith in our bioweapons labs. I don't think that they just threw away that money. They did as much damage as they could. And there is evidence of a bioweapon, not just in the injections, but there is a unique syndrome that's been going around since the beginning of this scam. And I'd be interested in your insight about what that actually is.
A unique syndrome, as in mass hypnosis, and is that what you're talking about?
Well, there is that one, but there's another one that I'm seeing a lot where people are in the hospital before the hospital kills them, and their lungs are working fine, but they can't get oxygen. And if that was always there, what was it and what is it?
Well, at the very, very beginning of this thing that they call a pandemic,
right.
At the very beginning, when everybody in New York City, you remember, they put up an entire tent that they never used. That would have taken care of hundreds of people. That was never used. And they brought in a ship, like a USSO ship, that they were going to put, that was never used, ever.
Yeah.
And then we've got thousands of people that, you know, in the hospitals, and we heard Cuomo week after week after week screaming, ventilators, 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 we got to have ventilators, right? Well, in the backdrop of all of that was going on the front scene to terrorize everybody, there were two very small little studies that were done that got no press and no circulation. But I started looking into what was wrong with the blood. What was wrong with the blood? And one of the risk factors for early severe COVID was if you got a blood test and your ferritin level was extremely high and your free iron level was really high. So it was like, what was happening? That there's inside of your red blood cells, there's a protein called hemoglobin. And globin is really the protein, and it has a molecule of iron, which is heme, you know, attached to it. And it's the iron coupled with the globin, the protein together, that allows oxygen to bind to your red blood cells and get carried and distributed to all of your organs in the body. Well, something was clipping the iron off of the globin. So if you don't have iron and globin together, you can't carry oxygen through your body. And I was trying to figure out, what was it? Was it the virus? This virus that kind of acted like a parasite because it responded to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. What really was causing that to clip aside? And one little study came out, one tiny little case report, that this that somebody else was thinking like I was. And when they had these patients that came in that were struggling to breathe, that they couldn't breathe, instead of giving them, putting them on a ventilator and trying to force more oxygen into their lungs, they gave them 2 units of packed red blood cells. They gave them 2 units of blood, packed red blood cells, but that had normal hemoglobin in it, and all their symptoms went away. So their lungs were working fine in putting oxygen into their body and getting rid of carbon dioxide. But the carrying capacity, the thing that picked up the oxygen and took it to your blood, was not working correctly. It was the red blood cells that were broken. And when we put the red blood cells in, normal ones, it picked up the oxygen and took it to the various parts of the body.
So the question is, what was doing that, right?
Yeah, and 5G can do it. 5G vibrations can do it. Parasites can do it. I have an entire folder that I of stuff that I was going to dig down and dig through. And, you know, I just got distracted with the mask issue and the social distancing and the fraud of the PCR testing. And then at that time, they started bringing out the shots, and we had to talk about the horrible things about the shots. So honestly, Richard, I never got back to that folder that's sitting on the desktop of my computer to really start digging down through what was causing that disruption. And why aren't we 3 years later looking at treating the blood instead of blaming the lungs as being the problem?
Yeah. And the you know, one of the bottom lines to all that, without knowing the details, because you didn't have time to go back, is that there was something happening. I don't think there's any evidence it had anything to do with the virus, but there was something going on enough to get the initial panic started. It wasn't only the newspapers. And it was interesting, you know, I thought it might be connected with 5G too, because of the effect on oxygen molecules of 5G. But the reason I dropped that is because the people that were given hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were cured, and then they were released into a 5G environment, and they were still fine.
Well, I don't think that that's going to make them be just fine. I mean, the, you know, you said a 5G free environment?
No, 5G environment, where there was still the 5G blasting out, but after they got the treatment, the good treatment, they were okay. They didn't immediately have the same thing happen.
Well, I don't, you know, there's more and more studies that, even there's been a ton of studies showing the problems with 5G.
Yeah.
And recently there have been several studies I've seen, quite long papers, actually, like 14, 15 pages long, which is pretty long for a journal article, showing what 5G and, you know, can do. The concern I've had is, like, all the people that go into the hospital, they can't breathe, they get a CAT scan of their lungs, and the doctors go, it's a ground glass appearance. We know it's COVID pneumonia.
Right.
I just want to, like, strangle somebody, because it's not, I mean, you've taken no sputum samples. You've done nothing but swab their nose and said, oh, it's positive, which, as we know, for the most part, means nothing.
Right.
The ground glass appearance is really an autoimmune inflammatory reaction. And these people should be treated, these very, very sick people in the hospital, with very high doses of steroids. You know, Dr. Pierre Corey has said it should be 250 to 300 milligrams of dexamethasone, high dose, to really cut down the inflammation, because the antibodies that have been formed either by this virus or by the shot against the spike protein, the antibodies, the number one thing that that antibody can do is attack your lung tissue and an autoimmune reaction and start breaking it down at the level of the alveoli. And the alveoli, for your listeners, are the tiny little sacs where it exchanges oxygen and carbon dioxide, and the antibodies attack them and break them down.
Right.
And so what's happening in their lungs is not COVID pneumonia. It's COVID or antibody-induced autoimmune disease that needs to be treated with high-dose steroids. And instead, the CDC guidelines say the most you could use is 3 to 6 milligrams, which is like, you know, spitting on a raging fire. It's not nearly enough to do anything. And so the doctor's hands have been hamstring and tied. They've not been allowed to use the most appropriate tools for the people who are really sick. It's what's happening inside of our hospitals. I mean, they really are like death centers now, Richard. I mean, people back in the 1400s, people used to go to the hospital to die, because that's where they went. There wasn't any place else to go, and they went to the hospital to die. And now people are going to the hospital to be killed. They're actually being murdered by inappropriate drugs that give the wrong drug at the wrong dose, given at the wrong time or the wrong condition. And the drugs that are approved to be given within 3 to 5 days of dosing cause multi-organ system failure, particularly to the kidneys, and people are dying in the hospital. And what's so just infuriating to me, and you sort of alluded to it a minute ago about the doctors. I mean, the doctors don't get it. It's sort of like they left their differential diagnosis hat at the door on December 31st of 2019. And for your listeners who don't know what differential diagnosis, what that technically means, it means if somebody presents to your clinic or to your emergency room with, say, a symptom. And so let's say the symptom is shortness of breath.
Right.
There can be a long list of things that can cause shortness of breath. Is it your lung? Is it reflux? Is it something to do with your heart? And a long list there. As a physician, what you're taught to do and you're educated to do is make as long a list as possible of what the possible cause is for that shortness of breath. And then you rule it out until you make the diagnosis of what's causing it. That long list and then narrowing it down to the thing causing the shortness of breath is called differential diagnosis. Doctors don't do that anymore. Everything is COVID. It doesn't matter. You can have a gunshot wound to the head. It's COVID. You know, it's like they just don't do it anymore. And they're not willing to. And the other thing they lost in 2019 was not only their ability to do differential diagnosis and do appropriate diagnostics to get to the right diagnosis and then the correct treatment. They've lost their ability to have critically thinking. And I think a lot of them have become illiterate. They don't know how to read anymore.
Give credit to the educational system for that, I think.
No, you have to give credit to the brainwashing that has occurred amongst physicians. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it's all money driven. It's all economically driven. And, you know, because, CMS, you know, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, you know, if someone goes in the hospital, they treat them with remdesivir. And right. they do not treat them with ivermectin, then when they die, because they most likely will, that CMS will look at their hospital bill and give the hospital a 20% bonus.
Because they died of COVID.
Because they died with remdesivir and without ivermectin.
And that the diagnosis was COVID.
Yeah, you know, and you could put COVID down for anything.
Right. And I think you need to... excuse me, give credit to the ventilators too. They're not drugs, but they do a really good job of killing people in a lot of cases.
But who puts them on the ventilator? People just don't walk in and stuff a tube down their throat. It's the doctors who prescribe the ventilator.
Doctors are told in a lot of cases what to prescribe and what condition too, right? They're following a prescribed standard of care.
They are practicing what we call algorithm-driven medicine. If yes, do this. If no, do that. And it goes all the way in. That's all there is to it. Don't think outside the box. Don't try to do something different. Like give packed red blood cells, like give oral, hydrogen peroxide nebulizer treatments or budesonide treatments or to get people medications. I mean, you know, we've got doctors that have been stopped and discharged and fired because they're W-2 wage earners by hospital systems because they want to give their patients the appropriate drug that they need.
Yeah.
Dr. Paul Merrick's story is so heartbreaking. You know, what they stopped him from treating 6 patients in the intensive care unit, and he stood by and watched them die. This is a physician who's been an intensive care doctor for more than 40 years, knew the right things to do with these patients. The hospital prevented him from doing them, and he watched his patients die, one of which was a 31-year-old woman with young children. And he told that story at a roundtable presentation that was put on by Senator, in Washington, D.C.
When Ron Johnson?
Ron Johnson's roundtable, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's...
Remember in the Nuremberg trials, this big issue about just following orders came up.
Yep, just following orders.
And it seems like that's what's going on all over the place at all the levels.
Yep, and the doctors, I give them no mercy because they, you know, when Ron Johnson said to Dr. Peter McCullough, when Peter first approached Senator Johnson about having this hearing, Ron Johnson said to Peter McCullough, where are the physicians? Why? I want them to come out swinging.
Right.
And instead, they hide in their corners. They disparage patients. They refuse to give appropriate treatment. We've got hospital systems who are now suing patients because the patients want to be involved with their loved ones' care. What country are we living in that a hospital system would hire lawyers to sue patients' families because the family wants to have a say in their care?
Right. And there's an analogy between the doctors that you're describing that go along with it and the police. that follow orders to beat up people because they don't have a mask on.
Yep, exactly. Or forcibly put them on the ground and forcibly inject them.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that's been done, right?
Yep.
There's some incredible videos of that happening.
Yep.
I think the first ones were in patients that were mentally compromised with certain conditions, and they were being held against their will. And several people would hold them down and somebody would inject them. It was unbelievable.
And now they're going after our children.
Yeah, babies. In fact,
pregnant women.
NVIC just put out an email this morning, I think, that warned people that they need to sign this petition not to let them do it to under 5-year-olds.
To under 18-year-olds.
Yeah, but I think they were specifically in this email saying don't let them do it under 5 years old.
And but you know that we've got dead 5-year-olds now, too.
Yeah.
And when I first heard that they were approving this to give to children 5 years of age, Richard, yeah. One of the things I said was, well, maybe, just maybe, 6 or 7 million dead first graders will get somebody's attention.
It's what it makes you look at the mentality. Why is the just following orders mentality so strong?
I believe that a lot of the people who've already received their injections, whether it's one or two, or in two in a booster, they are already part of the transhumanism movement. They have instantly, by quantum entanglement, been engaged with the supercomputers, the quantum computers that make Google's computers look like your desktop.
Yeah.
And that, you know, what goes up can come down, and they're looking to create what's called the hive mind, H-I-V-E, hive mind. And yeah. So all of these people are now, it's sort of like the back in the Star Wars Next Generation phase. Remember the Borg? You know, mm-hmm. In the Borg, they would say, you know, resistance is futile. You will be assimilated, and you will be assimilated into this hive mind, because the Borg looked like a hive of yes. individual bees, and were given specific numbers. They didn't have names. They were given numbers.
Right.
And I think that that's part of what they're doing to us, because they want to create a node of us, an absolute replica of an avatar, and put us up into something equivalent to like the metaverse, that everything is virtual, that what we are existing as God's creation in flesh and blood will be inconsequential, because we are not, we've failed as what we are. And now that we will be electronic and we will be hooked up to the hive mind, that we will own nothing and be happy. And
right.
Because we will all be collectively, externally regulated and controlled. It's already happening. This is not some sci-fi thing that's going to happen somewhere out in the distant future. It's happening. It's already been happening. It's happened over the last year and a half.
So what's represented by what's going on with the truckers, do you think?
Like I said, there's a group of people who said, I'm tired of hearing people say something needs to be done. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring. And it's waking up all of us, the people that were in a coma, about freedom of choice, about doing what you want, about being able to travel and to have a job and do the things that you wanted to do. And like the truckers have been saying, this is not an anti-vax protest. I mean, we've got people who are vaccinated, people who are not vaccinated, you know, people that are partially injected, people that are not. We've got old people and young people and everybody saying, we want the tyranny to stop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I think they represent.
And they're risking everything they've got to do that.
Everything.
Did you
and then
see?
And then to have GoFundMe steal their money under pressure.
GoFundMe's got a track record of doing that.
Yep, I know. They stole the money they were raising money for the border wall across the southern border. They had money they stole from that. They've stolen money from raising money for people that have that are trying to get an organ transplant.
Right.
I mean, they are a nefarious, awful organization. Awful.
Yeah. John Rappaport sent out an article today that investigated the background of GoFundMe. Everybody should look at that on lourockwell.com.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know about most of the connections with CIA and Facebook and the whole thing. So did you see the recording in the last day or so of the city council in Ottawa and how they were describing the truckers and making them into terrorists and insurrectionists? similar to the January 6 million people that went to Washington. And they're saying that they're making it impossible for good citizens to go to work and go outside their house and everything. And it's a showdown now between the government reading those scripts and the truckers.
Yeah, I did not see that, but it doesn't surprise me. And I have heard little things about, you know, they're stealing the gasoline for the truckers. And they're saying that the truckers are taking food from the homeless people, except the trucking industry, the head of the trucking industry shipped in 40,000 pizzas and the ovens to bake them in. And we're giving food to the homeless. I mean, it's really just, you know, I think that the more that they do this stuff, you know, Richard, you know, it says in the Bible, you know, all things that are hidden will come to light. Right. And I think that all of this dark, nefarious stuff is going to come to light. It's going to. And the more that people see that are supporting the truckers and what they've done all over the world, I'm telling you, when that trucker convoy first started, I don't know how many of those little videos I watched, a bunch. Yeah. I mean, some of them were longer than others. Some of them were on TikTok that were just, you know, like 2 minutes long. I cried tears for joy. Literally, it's like I could well up right now. Every single one of them just so inspired me.
The videos with the little kids telling the little truckers, kids, thank you.
All of those, and the truckers talking about things, and just watching the trucks go down the street, you know, just to see them were so inspiring. It brought tears to my eyes, every single one of them. And so I thought, what is making this so emotional for me? It's that who would have ever thought that blue collar right. truckers would be the ones that would stand up for everybody in the world. And we did an interview on our podcast with one of the organizers on the first day when they were headed for Ottawa. Uh-huh. And I said that to him. I said, you know, it's just so amazing in a good way that it's truckers, you know, that are doing this, that are standing up for the world. And he said, well, you know, truckers are kind of an unusual lot of people. He said, we're kind of loners, you know, we spend hours and hours on the highway by ourselves for the most part. We're independent. We like to set our own hours. We like to do things that we want to do. We don't like to be told what to do. And so as a collective, as a group, he said, I think that we represent the pioneer spirit of people that from all over the world that want to stand up and just live their life and just be left alone and put government back in the box that it belongs in the limited capacity of what government is supposed to do for us, right, instead of being this tyrannical, all-controlling thing. It was very inspiring. In fact, if anybody wants to listen to that interview, yes, you can go to my channel on CloudHub. You know, we have a CloudHub. I'm really promoting CloudHub for everybody. It's never censored. It's never taken down. It's sort of a combination of Facebook and YouTube and a little bit of Instagram. You know, you can do messaging on it. They're constantly expanding and making it bigger. In fact, CloudHub just raised over $2 million for the truckers after GoFundMe took their money. So they set up a campaign and raised over $2 million. I know Jeff Brain pretty well. He's the CEO of CloudHub. And I really like that channel a lot. We do live broadcasting every Monday morning on CloudHub, and we actually do special broadcasts. So we do every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we do live casts on CloudHub. And the interview that we did, if you just go to CloudHub and you just look for, you know, Dr. Tenpenny for my channel, you'll see the interview that I did with one of the head of the truckers organizations over there.
CloudHub.com?
CloudHub, CloutHub. CloudHub.com. Okay. Set up a free account.
Okay.
All you guys that got stuff all over YouTube that's constantly being threatened or taken away, taken down, move it all over, upload it into CloudHub, and you'll never lose it ever.
I wonder if we should have the head of CloudHub on as a guest and promote it.
He would love that. And Jeff's a great guy. He's really, really a good guy. He really is.
Want to give us a connection later to him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if we can help groups like that, I think that's really worthwhile.
Yep.
Give, Send, Go is another good one, right?
Give, Send, Go. Yeah, because they're separate. That's when I donated quite a bit of money to the truckers. And that's where I donated my money.
Give, Send, Go.
Yep.
Yeah, they were under a DDoS attack a couple of days ago for doing that, I think.
Everybody is. It's all over the world. You know, our servers that house our boot camp and Learning for You, which is our educational portal, and all the things, it's constantly under attack.
Yeah.
Huge under attack at the DDoS level, which for people that don't know, it's like the highest level of the internet. There's only 8 servers that are that big. It's only technically 8 servers that kind of control the world. And so the servers that come underneath them are constantly building a fortress to keep from being shot down by the attacks.
Overwhelmed. What you were saying about the truckers makes me think of the similarity between them and the, I think it was supposed to be 3% of the Americans in the 1700s that ended up being part of the revolution, right? Similar spirit, except now, because of the state of technology and weaponry and things like that, people have realized this has to be done more in the spirit of Gandhi without violence. And that if it's done with absolute resolve and mass noncompliance and nonviolence, then it's really hard to overcome.
It really is, because the first shot gives them the opportunity to drop nuclear.
Exactly, exactly. And it can make, you know, since they own the media, the major media, they can make the violent protesters look like terrorists.
And they can make it look like there's huge numbers of them. But then, of course, you know, when Black Lives Mattered and Antifa went through our downtowns of some of our major cities summer before last and smashed in all of the glass and set car dealerships on fire and burned down buildings.
That was mostly peaceful, though.
That was mostly peaceful. Yeah.
That, it's incredible. I mean, if people realized how we've been taken over by this corrupt media, people would just faint about finding out what's really going on.
Well, it's interesting, though, what's happening at CNN right now and how it's absolutely imploding from the top down. You know, you get what you give. And so what they've been giving is nonsense, propaganda, lies, you know, adultery, you know, pedophilia, all this other stuff that's going on over there. Well, it's starting to come home to roost because, again, as it says in the Bible, you know, all things hidden will come to light. And as these things are coming to light and more, what we call the movable middle is starting to get bigger, watching the truckers, watching all these events that are happening, starting to peel the scales, literal scales off of their eyes to see that, I've been scammed. And sometimes that's so hard for people to just say, you know, they really scammed me. I bought the Kool-Aid. I did, but no more. I'm not doing it anymore.
I think it's hard for regular people to realize how evil operates because they don't relate to it. You know, why would anybody want to be evil? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Right. And it actually doesn't make any sense because people who sell out to evil are just hurting themselves. So they're not really very smart, even though they're highly intelligent.
Well, intelligence is just aptitude. It's just an ability to absorb information. You know, that's just, you know, but really being smart is being able to take that and do something with it.
Yeah, something that's useful, huh?
Exactly.
And you mentioned the idea of people starting to realize freedom. And one, you know, we talked about that some of these doctors have a hard time realizing the depth of the scam, that the virus doesn't even exist in the beginning, and there's no proof that anyway that it does. But there's other things that people are missing, basics, which is they come on shows and say, well, the outbreak is not that bad to take away everybody's freedom. What they're forgetting is, like, the virus doesn't exist, is that in a free country, even if the pandemic were real, you can't take away God-given rights. It can't happen. So if there were piles of bodies, the government can say, we think you should hide in your bathroom, but they can't make you do it. Because otherwise, your rights are conditional. And if they're conditional, anybody declaring an emergency and it's over. So in the beginning of the principles of starting America, they had to decide between safety, you know, an authority figure taking care of you, and freedom. And they chose freedom and they said, it's not just for Americans, it's for everybody. God-given rights are not just in one country. And I think that's, the realization is spreading. It's not about whether the pandemic is bad enough to make you a slave. It wouldn't matter how bad it is for that. Just can't be done. So.
Well, and people need to get their hands up. They need to get hold of those, that steering wheel, because if we actually accept that and know it, I mean, like know it in your knower, know it.
Know what?
That these are God-given rights and people can't take them away.
Right.
Now that they've taken them away, everybody, instead of knowing that these they can't take them away, we're going back and asking permission to have our rights back.
Exactly.
We're asking permission of the slave owners to set us free. And we should have never been allowed ourselves to be subjugated to be slaves in the first place.
Yeah. So when that realization comes in, wow, you know, it's like none of this has any basis in legitimacy at all. The average person says, what do you do? You know, if I stand up for what's true, I lose my job. Everybody hates me. My friends think I'm an idiot. You know, this list of reasons you can't do that, why you, and you end up having to follow orders. It's a real choice for everybody, not just officials, about following orders. I mean, it was the same with the mask mandates, right? If you walk into a store without a mask at certain times, the police, I was in a store where, you know, the police didn't get there, but I was physically thrown out by the store staff. And that's not pleasant. So the question is, everybody's dealing with this question of following orders, including in hospitals where the order says protocol, put them on a ventilator, collect $50,000. You know, that's following orders. So what would be good to say to people whose job is being in the police that are told to beat people up, or in the hospital who are told to kill people on ventilators, or teachers who are told to make your students memorize things you know are untrue? I mean, that's an issue. What do you tell them since you're not subject to that?
It's all about the individual deciding that I'm simply not going to do that anymore. You know, I'll tell you a quick story that this is a true story. This happened just yesterday.
Okay.
To a friend of mine who was called for jury duty. And so he went to the courthouse and he said he was one of about 58 people that were there that were, you know, called to come in and, you know, do the thing for jury duty. And he was the only person in the entire courthouse that didn't have on a mask.
Wow.
And the security guard says, please take a mask. He said, okay. So he took a mask out of the box and stuck it in his pocket.
Right, right.
And he went on about his business. He ended up going upstairs into this room where they were going to be doing the selection, the jury selection. And the judge walks out and he's the only person in the room that doesn't have on a mask.
Uh-huh.
And the judge walks out and gives like a 10-minute kind of lecture or presentation or something about how many people had died for the freedom to be able to have a right to a trial by jury and to be judged by a set of your peers. And we should be grateful for all these people that died for this. And then, oh, by the way, these are the rules for the COVID protection rules for the courthouse.
This is your slavery protocol.
Right. And so my friend who's standing there, you know, he's probably 6 foot tall. He's a trim guy, but, you know, he's standing there and he doesn't have a mask on. And the judge said to him, he needed to put the mask on. He said, okay. So he puts the mask on when the judge does this whole tyranny thing and giving him the rules about the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, the judge says, does anyone here have a problem with anything I said? He raises his hand. He takes off his mask and he said, you know, Judge, I think it's really important. I agree with what you said about that we should all be grateful that we have the right to a trial by jury. And if I were ever on the wrong side of the law, I would hope that I would have that privilege to be able to be tried by my friends. He said, but do you not see the conflict and the irony of you talking about the freedom to have a trial by jury? And yet we don't have the freedom to wear a mask or not. Don't you see the irony in that? And she said, I'm not going to rule on that. He goes, but I'm just asking a question. You ask if you had any problem. And she said, do you have a problem with wearing a mask? He says, in fact, I do. She said, are you going to violate a court order if I order you to put on this mask? And he said, I was standing there thinking, well, I'm all in now. I guess I just better, like, he said, I don't know what's going to happen to me and get thrown in jail. He said, But he said, he goes, yes, I will violate that court order because I believe I have a freedom to choose and I choose to not wear this mask.
Right.
And she said, okay, so you're dismissed from you're dismissed. And so he walked out. And so I said to him, and I said, he said, big win, you know, and I said, there were 57 other people in that room that you planted serious seeds. I said, I wonder how many people after you walked out said, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. It got actually kicked out of the room.
How wonderful. Just imagine if it had happened quickly and everybody else in the room had taken off the mask while they were talking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I think they were waiting to see if the bailiff came and cuffed him and hauled him off to jail
exactly.
or something.
Exactly.
You know? So
the orders are being followed at all these levels. You know, those juror candidates were following orders. The judge was following orders, probably being so many judges are told what to say, obviously. Right. I mean, that's part of the problem. The police are following orders. The medical staff is following orders. The teachers are following orders. I mean, in a lot of universities now, they used to be able to speak from their own wisdom and their experience. Now they're facilitators told what they have to say by the Department of Education. You know, or they lose their accreditation. And all these levels in society, there's a common mentality of following the orders, because if you don't, you know, you're violating the court order or the doctor's order or whatever it is. So how do you get the strength to make the decision in the right direction for that kind of stuff?
Well, are you willing to die for your convictions?
That's the question.
That's the ultimate question.
What would make you willing to die for your convictions instead of take the convenient way not to do that?
I think for me personally, and maybe for a lot of people, it's knowing that death has no sting and
right.
that, you know, we are only here in this temporal body for a short period of time.
Absolutely.
We're really a spiritual being having a physical experience.
Yes.
I mean, I read somewhere that somebody... I'm going to paraphrase this, but it left an image to me that somehow they were watching how long when people had their heads chopped off, literally like guillotined off.
Right.
How long did it take before they were physically dead?
Yeah.
And it was 7 seconds.
Okay.
And so to me, and they watched a whole bunch of these, I don't know if it was a Saddam Hussein thing or, you know, something was happening in Iran. I don't know. But they'd okay. watch it and it was 7 seconds. So the difference between life and death and being in this physical body and being a spiritual body going home to meet the Lord
right.
is 7 seconds of maximum 7 seconds of pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do that. And I really think that it's more important to know that when I die, that when I stand before the Lord and he said, well done, good and faithful servant, you stood by the spirit of your convictions. You stood on your conviction about your spirituality
right.
and your you were willing to die for what you knew was right and true.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you. It's thinking about the bigger issue instead of the momentary convenience.
I bought this book a while back. And it's from the Voice of the Martyrs, and I support their organization. And the name of the book is called Extreme Devotion. I hope you can see it. It's called Extreme Devotion. And the subtitle in the book is daily devotional stories of ancient to modern day believers who sacrificed everything for Christ. And every story is one page long. And some of them came from a long time ago. Some of them are relatively new about being prisoners and that they were willing to stand on their conviction relationship with Jesus Christ and sacrifice everything, including their life. And so I bought this to read it as a testament to my own, to give me power in my own strength.
Yeah.
It's like, if other people can do this, I can do it.
Inspiration is really valuable.
Yep.
Extreme Devotion. And who's the author? Who's the author?
It's a compilation from the Voice of the Martyrs, Voice of the Martyrs.
Okay.
It says over 1 million in print in 36 different languages. It's an international bestseller. And it's just an inspiration.
Wow.
Just an inspiration of like,
It sounds incredible.
To me, it's sort of like, I feel like if, you know, I was just watching a video yesterday, somebody sent me, was talking about FEMA camps and, you know, COVID camps. And if we get to the place where they're going to be arresting us, I thought, I need a little human inspiration.
Yes.
I certainly get my spiritual information from the Bible, but a little human inspiration goes a long way.
It's super valuable. Now, I had forgotten when we started, we need about 10 minutes before you have to go for talking to the private group. So we're going to wrap it up in a minute. But there are two physical level questions that I thought I should just get your quick feedback on. One is for people that have taken the injection and are wondering what's the best thing they can do to overcome the results, which I know people are still working on, but the latest, your thought on that. And the other is the transfection idea and what's the situation in reality with people getting hurt by being around people that have gotten the injection. And I mean, you're going to have to come back in 6 months or whenever your next appointment is available, because there's also this issue of the latest theory about placebos. You know, within certain different lots, there are some that are designed within a certain company, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, or whatever, designed where they're going to have a bad reaction right away that can be seen. Others that don't, which they're assuming is a placebo, which I think is a mistake. I have more faith in those companies that they don't waste a chance to kill people if they have it. And issuing all these placebos would really be, you know, counterproductive in their mind. But anything you want to say on any of those three points, it has to be really brief, and then we'll go to the other section.
Okay, the first question about what if you've had one, two, or three injections and now you're regretting it?
Yes.
Well, as long as I've been doing vaccine education about the childhood vaccines for the last 21 years and now about the COVID shot, once you've been vaccinated, you can't unvaccinate. Once you've been injected with this product, you can't get it out of your body. It's a genetic modification technology that was designed to change your God-given genes. And there is nothing at this day and age that we know of so far. And I always leave that caveat open. There might be something forthcoming, but there's nothing that can get it, that can reverse it. Nothing. Now, you can do detoxes and change your diet and, you know, do things to kind of mitigate the graphene oxide and the graphene hydroxide in your system. You can try to get rid of some of the nanotechnology lipids out of your system. But once you've been injected, you can't uninject, period.
Right. And what about the transfection or, you know, that type of thing, issue?
We call it, you know, transmission. And they really do believe it is an exosome now, an exosome of the spike protein. So the spike protein's in your system. They get a little lipid coating around the outside of them called an exosome, and it can be droplet transmission by contact.
Okay.
And it's real. I mean, even the New York Times this last week had an article talking about people's menstrual cycles that are disrupted by being around vaccinated people, being around injected people. So it's real. So it's very, very real. And we've got a 300 times increase incidence of stillbirths. We've got over 300 times increase amount or 1,000 times increase amount of neurological problems. We've got cardiac deaths that are happening like left and right. I got a text message yesterday morning from somebody who said that they were in a hospital. They worked on a COVID ward. There were only three patients in the hospital in that ward, three. That you could technically say had COVID. Everybody else was there with cardiac arrest, myocarditis, cardiac arrhythmias, and heart bleeding, that the heart was so friable that it was bleeding into the pericardial sac. And people had two chest tubes in their pericardium to suck off the blood that was bleeding from their heart muscle.
Wow.
This is real. It's very real. We've got a pediatric cardiologist who's now come out and said, we thought that the perhaps myocarditis rate from injecting children might be 2 or 3%. We're now, from doing cardiac MRIs, even on asymptomatic people, we're now convinced the myocarditis occurs in at least 50% of children who get these shots, which means they will always be at risk of sudden cardiac death. They will always be at risk of cardiac arrhythmias when they are activity or just running out in the street, playing ball, and they will definitely shave 10, 20 years off the back end of their life.
And it's a real fallacy to think that at a rate like 50%, the others are fine.
For sure.
You know, yeah. You can't really assume that. So, I mean, this kind of like sets the stage in a cliffhanger for the next conversation, because this is not a 10-second thing to resolve. But I'm just super grateful for your time, and I hope that you're taking good care of yourself.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
It's a challenging environment, I know. So anyway, hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break, and we'll take up again when you come back next time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Richard. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. So that was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, probably very likely one of the most knowledgeable people on vaccines on the whole planet at the moment, and just working every day with huge numbers of interviews and meetings and things like that to try to do some good. I just really appreciate people like that. So hopefully we'll give her a little bit more exposure and support, and you guys can too. And she mentioned the two websites that you should go to, drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com, and thetenpennyalliance.org, which I didn't even know about. I got to go and see what they're doing with that. And we're going to follow up with trying to have somebody from the new healthcare system that she's putting together on the show so we can tell you the details. Maybe there's ways to get involved in that, but it's going to be spreading all over the country and maybe further, I hope. People in other countries need to do something similar. And the book that she mentioned, Extreme Devotion, is really relevant because it was about people like in the American Revolution, you know, except now, and it, I guess back all through history, that have had to make the choice that we're all having to make now between convenience and being true to ourselves and what would be the real spiritual priority and value in the decision. And we've been trained for convenience as the top priority. It doesn't really work out well as far as the long-term results, sometimes even the short-term ones. So it's like being aware of a choice comes up, you stop and say, what is the choice really about? You know, what would be the right thing to do? And that, it sounds like that's what that book is, just full of examples of people who did that with the right priority. So want to get a hold of that book. I think that's the main message, and we'll have to have Sherry back as soon as we can. She's talking about some things that need further discussion. Transmission from people who are already infected. I mean injected. And I still have hope that the millions of people who will be realizing, oh, maybe the shots were not a good idea, that there will be ways to heal them. So anyway, sorry for the phone background noise. I have to leave this on for emergency stuff right now. Anyway, that was Sherry Tenpenny. You might want to listen to some of that more than once. There's a lot of important stuff that she shared. What else? If you want to see where we're on the air and not censored, go to lostartsradio.com/live. And it's got the connections to the audio and the video channels that we're on. Stay in touch that way. And some of them are in danger of disappearing if they're big. But we're going to keep going as long as we can on all the platforms that are available. And if you want to help us stay on the air, we're not doing commercials at the moment. So we have a donate button on lostartsradio.com and a subscribe star link, both of which work. And remember, this is our Sunday show. We have a Saturday show, and which is in the process of morphing into a new form right now, and also Planetary Healing Club, in a non-censored environment for those of us who want to get deeper into the self-transformation to be able to contribute more to the world situation and change life quality. that gets deeply into all the stuff that we mentioned tonight. And so if you want to join us there, that's planetaryhealingclub.com. And whether you do that or not, or just work on your own or with friends or whatever, the bottom line message is take care of yourself. Get your physical health back as much as you possibly can. And as Dr. Tenpenny suggested, put the spiritual priority first. Everything else will follow. I think that's about it. So have a good rest of the weekend. I really appreciate your participation and support, and take good care of yourself. And we'll look forward to meeting you here next time. Have a good night.